got that itch.
You got to have it.
The fossil fuels behind you.
And keep that filthy habit. When you're burning up ozone like you're getting your dose on.
Find a hopper, get inside it. And kick that filthy habit.
And a good way to kick that filthy habit is to go solar. And we're talking to someone who has really helped San Francisco, to name one city, go solar in a big way. David Hochschild is the executive director of PV Now. It's a coalition of leading photovoltaic companies focused on expanding the U.S. market for solar electricity. And since we are in the middle of summer and the middle of a heat wave across this country and really many places around the world, I heard the other day that the first 6 months of this year were the hottest on record. So for a lot of folks, shade is sounding pretty good right about now, but all this hot sun can do some good if you have solar panels, photovoltaic cells on your roof, or solar energy stocks in your portfolio. So David Hochschild, tell us, and by the way, just by way of background, you were involved in solar energy back in 2001 when you were a special assistant to the mayor here in San Francisco, and you worked very hard to put together the $100 million solar bond. That was a $100 million solar bond initiative to pay for large-scale solar roofs on public buildings like our convention center, Moscone Center, and you were also co-founder of Vote Solar. So since then, in the last 5 years, things have really heated up, so to speak.
Yes, it is really an exciting time.
Especially in California, I guess solar power has grown 44%. Is that California or,
actually,
or
no,
nationwide?
That's worldwide. The market for solar electricity for PV has grown by an average of 44% over the last 5 years. We're really seeing unprecedented investment in this technology. And some great news, of course, in California. In January, the state passed the largest solar incentive program in the country, an 11-year, $3.2 billion solar incentive program. It's really a national model, and it's having, I think, a lot of good ripple effects in other states. What we're really seeing in the U.S. right now is that state governments are starting to take the lead. California is the biggest solar market, about 71% of the U.S. market, and New Jersey is next. But there are a number of other states, including Texas and New York and Nevada and Arizona and others, that are really looking at ramping up their solar programs. And that's good news for all of us, because collectively, all these states creating these long-term incentive programs creates the economies of scale in the solar industry that we need to continue to bring down costs.
So we put solar panels on our roof about 5 years ago and paid about, I think it was about $10,000 after the rebate. So that was a pretty good deal. Maybe Real Goods gave me a good deal, since I talk about solar power anyway. But we've just moved. We couldn't take the panels with us, unfortunately. They're not portable. That's definitely one negative. But then again, it's a good way to sort of green the world one house at a time. Just keep moving. So we just got an estimate from Real Goods again. And for the same 3.5 kilowatt system, I think they were quoting us more like $17,000. Now, I'm not sure about what rebates are still in effect. But overall, you know, for this the same size system, you know, in Northern California, I would think the price would go down. Has that, in fact, happened over the last 5 years?
Yeah, actually, the trend over the last 30 years is a very steady decline in cost of about 5% a year. What's happened the last 2 years, prices have actually not gone down. They've bumped up a little bit, and that is due to the heavy demand for solar. What's happened, there's a...
Oh, my gosh. You mean the prices are too high because there's not enough demand, and then there is demand, and the prices...
Well, what's happening is there's... right now, the demand for silicon is such that we don't have enough silicon right now to meet all supply, but it's actually had a good effect in that this increase in price in the last year or two, slight increase in price, has caused unprecedented investment in silicon manufacturing. And so there's only 7 companies in the world that make the silicon that we use to make solar panels, and it costs about $250 million to build a new factory. Right now, we have about 31,000 metric tons of silicon capacity, and there's going to be, it'll be up to about 83,000 in the next few years. That's just announced capacity increases. There's a whole bunch of unannounced as well. And this is good news, because for the long term, we need to have that silicon manufacturing capacity. Of course, silicon itself, which is the raw material used to make about 95% of the world's solar panels, is the second most common substance on the face of the earth. We may have an oil shortage. We'll never have a silicon shortage.
It's found in sand, right?
Yeah, that's right. Actually, quartz, it's then turned into silane gas, and they make it into an ingot.
Wait a minute. If global warming makes sea levels rise, I understand we're going to lose many of our beaches. Maybe there could be a sand shortage, but not anytime soon.
Actually, a lot of it is harvested inland, too, in quartz.
Deserts.
So, okay. But the bottom line is that for the long term, the prospects look very, very bright. And even with the modest increase in price for the solar panels, the actual installation cost has still gone down. And that's because the installation is getting cheaper and more efficient as the solar installer market grows. And the cost of the inverter, which every solar system needs to have an inverter to change the electricity from DC to AC, inverter costs have gone down about 40% in the last 5 years and are expected to go down another 50% in the next 5 years.
Okay, so is manufacturing capacity being developed as we speak? Will we see more factories coming on board?
Yes, and of course there's these two. There's the manufacturing of the raw silicon, and then there's the manufacturing of the solar panels. And what you see now is there's actually an oversupply at every point along the supply chain except for silicon manufacturing, and that's being dealt with right now. But just to give you a picture of some solar plants, for example, here in the U.S. is a Sharp Corporation, which is the largest solar company in the world, built a plant in Tennessee to make solar panels in 2003, 20 megawatts. They doubled that to 40 megawatts in 2004, increased it to 60 megawatts last year, and there's more expansion planned for the next 2 years. Another company based in Silicon Valley, SunPower, started off in the fall last year at 25 megawatts. They were at 75 megawatts by March, and they'll be at 100 by the end of this year. So
this has really to be creating jobs as well.
Yeah, a lot of job creation. Remember, though, that much of the manufacturing that's being brought online now is highly automated. And that's a good thing because that's how we bring costs down and make the panels more efficiently. A lot of the jobs are actually in the installation in the local installer market.
Mm-hmm. My contractor is thinking about transitioning to installing solar panels. I keep telling him it's going to grow. Just, you know, mark my words.
Well, if you keep moving, Betsy, you'll keep him moving.
That's exactly right. He's our permanent contractor slash handyman. So we've just got about a minute left. I have to ask you about nano solar and the promise of that.
Sure. Well, remember, about 95% of the solar panels made today are the silicon technology. There are some non-silicon-based technologies, and nanosolar is one of them, that are promising very, very low costs. If they create a technology that actually works, it'll be terrific. They're not there yet, but if they do, that'll be a real breakthrough. But the bottom line is that we're moving forward with the mainstay of solar technology and silicon, and the prospects are really bright, particularly with these long-term incentive programs. That's what really drives the technology and the market forward, is having an end to the stop-start solar policies and creating these
right.
long-term solar programs.
And we got to stop right now, and thank you so much for joining us. David Hochschild, Executive Director of PVNOAA. We'll have to bring you back for a longer conversation. You've been listening to Eco Talk, lots of green conversations, information, and inspiration for a healthier planet. Go to our website to find out more, ecotalk.net. See you next time.
I'm sitting and gripping on this wood grain finish. You know it's doable.